Blog Talk Radio.
Again with another installment of Thoughts of a Brother. Starting off this show, I want to put this out there right fast. A.R.T. If anybody haven't heard it or haven't paid, checked it out, Conversation with a Daddy, T.O.A.B.'s Sunday show was an excellent show. Excellent show. I caught some of it myself. As a listener, I must say, it was eloquently presented. It was heartfelt, and it was an excellent show. It was an excellent show, and that's on behalf of myself, because I stepped away on Sunday to celebrate Father's Day with my family. Bone did as well, so Corey took the show on by himself, and he did a great job. So
don't tell us too much. I had a chance.
Okay, but he did a great job, and I ain't gonna give you too much, but I will tell you this: go check the link out at Thoughts at Blog Talk Radio. Thoughts of a Brother, Conversation with Dad. With that, good evening, man. Good evening. I had to put that out there. We get on into the show. Your boy, Scott Form, Wiz.
What up, world? It's your boy, Bone. What's going on?
It's all he's going to give you. You already know, so don't look for no more. Well, then I don't know, because sometimes he gives you a little more. So it is what it is. We'll move on into the day's show. And get into our in the know, as we always do. Mm-hmm. T, you got one for us today that...
Oh, man, you're going to do me like that?
We found pretty good. Yeah, I'll put you on the spot, because I really want to dive into that.
Okay. It's old.
Right.
And I mean, when I say old, I'm talking about a couple years old, but I thought it was interesting and wanted to know your boy's opinion. Headline says, Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Colon. If I could be anyone else, I would want to be Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interview that she did with the Daily News, or the article is in the Daily News. But it says, quote, gosh, if I had some gift, I'd be Beyonce. I'd be some great singer, Mrs. Obama told People magazine in an interview she did Friday prior to this being posted, which was on the 24th of May, again, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to go too deep into it, but that was enough for me to, I mean, we're talking about the first lady saying if she could be anybody else, she would be Beyonce.
So what's out there?
Me, personally, when I heard what you said, she quoted and saying, I hear her living out her fantasy in some way. Now, on the other hand, me being an individual myself, I don't want to be nobody but me. So from that standpoint, I don't know if she was, you know, being open with the reporter and saying, you know, it's hypothetical or whatever. Cool, but if you ask me that hypothetical, I'm going to tell you, no, I want to be there. You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, I love the first lady, and I'm going to be one of the first ones to come to her defense. So in this case, I'm going to play that role. I'm going to come to her defense. Not saying that she needs it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I think that can be taken several different ways. I took it as her saying that if she could live out her dream, she would be a talented singer like Beyonce. Now, 2 years ago, I would say Beyonce's character
was a little different.
Would may have never, ever really been in question. 2 years later,
yeah.
Yeah, I can see how somebody might say, well, why Beyonce?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But 2 years ago, I give her that.
Man, but.
Go ahead, get to it.
When I saw this, I ain't thinking 2 years ago, I ain't thinking current day. I'm not thinking none of that. I'm seeing First Lady says if she could trade places with anybody, if she could pick, she would be Beyonce. Out of all the people in the world, past, present, you choose Beyonce? Now, we're talking about a lady who is Princeton educated?
Columbia, I think.
One of them. Yeah. Somewhere prestigious.
Ivy League
school.
Yeah.
Beyonce does not have a high school diploma.
Beyonce ain't got no high school diploma?
She got a GED.
I didn't even know that. I didn't know that.
I mean, just think about the message that you send into little girls who look up to you, what you just told them. If I could trade places or if I could do something else, it would be Beyonce. Come on, man. That's not really the message you want to send. No.
I get it. Totally. I totally get it. And we say this all the time. Once you get in a position, you want to present yourself a certain way. You got to be careful what you do and what you say.
Now, listen, you just took, I don't know how many steps backwards. You are the first black, I'm not going to say African American, you're the first black first lady we've ever seen. Nobody can ever accomplish what you just accomplished. So for you to turn around and say, I would trade places with Beyonce, to me, is like, do you know how many people you slapped in the face with that? Now, granted, it was your question, and it's your answer. Can't charge you for it. But because you did it openly, we can have open opinions
about it.
And that goes on, I don't know how long that was. I saw something that backed off of it where the president said that Beyonce was, he considered Beyonce a good role model for his daughters.
Was this back then?
And I don't know. I didn't see the date. I just saw this when I was pulling up the other article. I think this was more recently. I don't know how much.
You know what? I think it was. I think it was in response to what Bill O'Reilly had to say about Beyonce's latest album. Because he was saying, like, you shouldn't look up to Beyonce. Why would you want your kids watching this, the video?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think President Obama had a response to it. And I think he was like, her achievements and what she has done. Now, I'm not totally sure, but I think it's because I heard a little bit of it. But like her achieving what she had done, he would be proud if his daughters had accomplished the same thing.
That's crazy to me too. I don't necessarily know why, but I just don't feel like that was. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too judgmental on this one.
Not to get too deep into this, but would you be okay with him saying him or the first lady saying they want to be like or want to be anybody in present day
time,
entertainment, you know?
If it was, I don't care who you pick as an entertainer, like, really. That's not true. Give me a king. Give me a somebody who had an impact on the world.
Which Beyonce made.
I mean, I'm not gonna say made. She did. But is that the type of impact that you want to present?
I think it comes down to preference, and it depends on what you what. Like, some parents may want their sons and daughters to be doctors. Others may choose for them to be lawyers. You know what I mean? It comes to preference. And say, if I want a doctor or a lawyer, right? Then say the other guy might just want his son to be what he was, a warehouse worker. But there's nothing bad with that, but it's a preference. So if I choose entertainer because that's the life I always wanted.
Let me give it to you this way. Say Kennedy come to you or Billy come to you and say, Daddy, I want to be Beyonce. I want, when I grow up, that's what I want to do. I want to be like Beyonce.
I might have a problem with Beyonce, but if she said to me, I want to make music and spread it across the world and be a worldwide pop star, I'd be like, yeah, maybe you can be that.
But you don't want Beyonce.
Well, it's because of Beyonce's latest action. What she's presenting now.
I would find it hard for me to, lack of a better word, crush her dream or aspiration. I'm going to take that not necessarily in a literal sense that she wants to be Beyonce, but more so she wants to sing and dance and entertain. I'm okay with that. And I'll probably throw in, well, baby, you're not going to grow up to be Beyonce. You're going to grow up to be Billy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sing and dance and entertain. That's how I believe.
And I do want to throw this in there, too, because Beyonce is a grown woman. So she's up totally to her to express herself how she wants to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now I'm open to her expressing herself how she wants to. I'm just not open to my kids listening to it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I want to put it out there because it almost seemed like I was saying that I didn't want to deal with the Beyonce of today compared to yesterday. No, I'm okay with what she's doing. I'm just not okay with the atmosphere. What she's presenting now for kids.
Well, I'm going to get off of that. I just thought, you know, that was...
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to know what y'all thought.
It was a good one. Look at that for a minute. I forgot what was in there in the note, to be honest with you. So that was a good one. This is the first one I got for y'all, boy. KFC offers $30,000 over claim. Sorry. Girl asked to leave. KFC would donate $30,000 towards the medical bill of a Mississippi girl recovering from a pit bull attack after her family said she was asked to leave a franchise because her appearance frightened other customers.
Wait, whoa. So she was in KFC?
Yeah.
She was asked to leave because, I guess, what she had to own something about?
No. She's scarred. So she's been attacked by three. Well, I'll give you some more. The girl, who was 3 years old, was attacked by three of her grandparents after they burst through the door of his trailer. The girl lost her right eye, sustained a broken jaw, nose, and cheekbones, and suffered facial scarring in the attack. So the little girl is deformed.
So the dog got to her.
Right.
And now because of what the dog did, she goes to KFC and they ask her to leave.
Because the customers are frightened by her.
And they gave her how much money?
They offered to give her $30,000 towards her medical bill. What?
What?
Can you ask people to leave because of that?
Hey,
no!
They
hold the right to refuse service, huh?
It's their business.
And it's a distraction, I guess.
No, man, that's a slap in the face, though. $30,000, dog. That's a slap
for medical
in the face.
Well, they didn't have to offer her anything.
I disagree. I feel like the only reason they offered her that $30,000 because they know they could lose more if she made some type of lawsuit.
But I'm saying they didn't have to offer the $30,000. If you want to take me to court, then you take me to court.
But I don't really think they can stand on anything.
That's why they offered the $30,000 because their lawyers are already on top. And if we go to court with this, we're going to lose millions.
Yeah, you might.
Let's get this young lady $30,000 and hope that she forgets.
It has to be a civil suit. It can't be
criminal. It's not criminal.
But on what ground, though? What are you suing me for?
Discrimination. On my appearance.
Will you deny service to any other handicapped or deformed patron?
No, I'm not saying that I agree with that decision.
Yeah, we're
not saying that you are. That's the question I'm posing.
I'm going more so along the lines of lawsuit. Now, we in KFC, this is their franchise, whatever you want to call it. Somebody owned this.
Right.
The people who work in here represent that owner.
Right. So I fall back on KFC, yeah.
If the manager or whoever decided serving you or giving you business would cause more harm than good, what's wrong? Don't they have the authority to do so?
Yeah.
I disagree. That, to me, is the same of them saying, I'm not serving any person that wants to come in here that's in a wheelchair. If you're in a wheelchair, you can't come in here.
But see, the difference,
I'm not gonna serve you.
The difference is, they saying it causes a distraction that's hurting
because
them.
Your wheelchair, you call it a distraction with your wheelchair.
Then they might have a ground to stand on.
Damn right they got a ground to stand. Every handicapped person.
No, I'm saying KFC.
They don't. Okay. Any person in every handicapped person United States would be up in arms trying to sue the hell out of them.
Okay. By the same token. There are places that refuse service to people with no shirt and no shoes. What if I don't own a pair of shoes?
Borrow one before you come in my store.
I don't own a pair. Why I got to go
for
that?
That's clothing.
Right.
I can borrow a shirt.
No,
if I want to come in,
I can't change my appearance.
The common denominator is the owner of that establishment has the right to serve whoever they choose.
He right. And he's going to open himself up for law actions.
They're not going to take $30,000.
No, I would.
And if it's this kind of news, you can get more.
And if you offer me $30,000, that means you somewhere in you know. I can get more.
Damn right. Sorry.
You're good. That's how you felt. And
I
that
think
makes
it's crazy,
sense.
Though. Like, what would ever have harmed you to serve the girl something? Hey, we're talking about a three-year-old girl.
You serve her, get her out of here, and it's over with.
Nothing, man. If anything,
not even
make
the girl
that way.
Well, yeah, that's what's wrong, but that's what I would have done as the manager. I would have sent the people home who felt that.
Yeah.
That's what I would
have
done.
A problem, then
you
leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because now you ain't going to tell that to the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
That I put you out because you was mad because the little girl was in. So they played it backwards. Well,
where was this at one more time?
That's what I wanted to know.
Mississippi.
Okay.
Mississippi.
I'm sorry.
It don't matter about color.
But
the thought, the thinking. I'm sorry. Anybody from
We're going to leave that alone. We're going to leave that alone. Now you stop it, man. Okay, boom. You go back into this.
Okay.
He laughing now. The heat. Reportedly turning attention toward acquiring Knicks star Carmelo Anthony. While the Knicks can offer Anthony the most money, the Heat will need their three top players, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, all of whom can opt out of their contracts to accept less money in order to make room on the salary cap for Anthony.
Now, I'm going to let you have this.
No. You go first.
Look, after what we just saw
right,
the last 2 weeks from Miami, I don't think, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say this with comment. I don't think that they are the number one contenders going into next year.
Right.
So Carmelo may be looking at he may need to reevaluate his options.
Right.
Because what we just saw, all you gonna do is go there and cause a problem, make things even worse. Something is not right there. There's something that's off in that. Because even if you lost to San Antonio, the score shouldn't have looked like that.
And the crazy thing is, though, now, because I agree with you, don't. In my heart, I see Miami getting back to the final, but I don't see Miami winning again. On ESPN, after the game, all the experts was like, at this point, Miami's still the front runner for the championship next year.
I mean,
it's like just total disrespectful to San Antonio.
It is.
Because Tim Duncan or Ginobili hasn't said they're going anywhere. You're just assuming, or you're just saying, even with them coming back, it just blow this team out.
That would be just stupid. If that's what you're saying, that would be just dumb. I don't think they
say. But I'm trying to figure out, I know it comes back to LeBron. You really can't bet against LeBron.
You better sometimes.
Okay. All right, I'm ready now.
Go ahead, bro.
As a Heat fan, I got to put this out there. He did not say the number one contender. He said a contender.
Right.
Despite what you got to say about the Heat, they are still a contender for the championship next year. All right. Moving on. Carmelo Anthony to the Heat. The only way I see it working is if, and it pains me to say this, if Dwayne Wade leaves.
Yeah.
That's the only way it would work. It would not work with all four of them.
No, you're going to have to take three. And I'm a little more better with Bosh. Anthony and LeBron.
Explain to me why it wouldn't work with all four.
Wade gonna mess. What you know? What,
like
it ain't gonna work with Wade too.
Like
for me,
that's what I want to get.
For me, said you said it's off somewhere.
Yeah.
That offness.
Yeah.
It pains me to say.
You know what I'm saying?
It's Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade is that offness. Now, unless he has some kind of remarkable offseason and comes back brand new. I think my boy is done. I think my boy is done. What I think is best for the team is that he just go. I want him to retire a Heat, go off with how many championships?
We got four, right? No, three.
Three.
I'm counting this one.
Three championships, off to the sunset. You married a model / actress. You ain't got to work no more for the rest of your life. She got money. Your kid's happy. You still got some more of your health.
Oh, I'm a sunset. I have the man.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work for a competitor. That doesn't work for a competitor.
But, okay, a competitor. A competitor, the downfall to a competitor is that they don't know when the hell to give it up.
Yeah.
This is true.
It's true.
Brett Favre,
Michael Jordan. We can go on. The list goes on and on.
True. This is true.
They don't know when to hang it up.
So you're saying he might need some help.
Ali. We forget about that much.
Yeah.
Somebody need to tell him.
Yeah.
If I have a phone number,
you'll tell
him. As a friend, homeboy.
LeBron is dead.
So, I mean,
LeBron ain't gonna tell him.
Ain't gonna tell
LeBron
him.
LeBron wants him to come back.
Hey, dog, though. I mean, it'd be hard. It'd be hard for me to tell
but
you.
But they, but the, them and Carmelo is perfect.
Really?
They chemistry as friends works.
Who and who?
Carmelo and LeBron. Even you could throw Wade in there. All of them three coming together. But I don't see Wade working on the court. Now, off court, if he take more of a backup role.
He would have to, though.
I'm talking about total back. I ain't talking about no
like
good minutes.
Bench. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I might see you this game.
Not six man at all.
No.
He can run the floor. He can run the floor because it's still Wade. You can't leave him.
He was not Wade. It wasn't that he was Wade and it just wasn't enough. He wasn't Wade.
This is the difference. We're talking about Wade being the number two man and Wade having the option to be the number three / number four man. That's a different responsibility for Wade. You free him up to be Wade then.
Yeah.
No, you set
right
him
now,
up.
You need it.
Set him up is what you do. He can't guard the majority of three men in the league right now.
I don't even care about defense.
Wade.
I don't care.
Can't guard who?
He can't guard the majority of
three.
Why would you put him on a three?
Well, you said /3.
No, on the team. I don't need you to be second scorer now.
Oh, you're saying you can be third.
Okay. You can be three. You can be four.
He's going to be four if we keep by.
That's fine.
If we keep by,
just
four.
Play your role now.
Yeah.
That's all I need you to do now.
But you got to have to go into that role great.
How much money are they going to pay him to play a role?
That's why he would have to take that cut.
He might. He need to take the biggest cut of the teeth. He might. Oh, yeah.
Now you're just clapping the man.
I ain't clapping the man's face. It's reality.
Performance is performance. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't win the championship for them last year. Did he?
No.
Did I see a different series?
No. He almost blew that one, too.
Okay, and where does your boy fit into this?
No. Thomas?
I'm sorry. The other, Ray Allen.
Allen gone.
Where he fit in this equation?
Allen gone.
He fit where he's been fitting.
Okay, so how does
Dwayne
got
to go?
He has to go then.
Because you started pushing people down, and now where are we going to put our five at?
I don't know, man. It hurts me too. But a true fan got to be realistic.
You go from leader of the team 1 year to maybe a year and a half later to being the backup man to 2 years now. We talking about we need to go somewhere else. Nah.
It happens every time. Ask Donovan McNabb about it. You see it all the time. He lobbied to get Vic there. Soon as Vic got that way, he went.
Mm.
Oh, that's bad.
It happens, though. It happens. You bring them in, and they take your job. But it's what they're there for.
Now you understand the mentality of COVID, don't you?
Yeah.
No, ain't
get
nobody
out
coming in here that
get
might
out
do
out
that
out
to me. Ain't nobody
going, get out of here.
I ain't done yet.
See, Jordan had to deal with it, but he would have done it the same way.
Yeah.
That's why it was so crazy that Robin came. We knew Robin went on score, so it didn't really matter. But you still was like, how can he be on the same level as Jordan and put him in check?
Yeah. Wow. Love,
man. Let's go look. Yeah. This is no man. We gonna have some good conversation. So we're gonna close this one up with this. Is it, as we always do, we try to go out with something positive. 9-year-old girl recruited by University of Miami basketball team. I know y'all boys gonna like this because it's y'all team. This will be a good thing or a bad thing. So I'm gonna go into it. The 9-year-old spent 3 hours taking a tour of the University of Miami last week, where the women's basketball coaching staff urged her to keep the Hurricanes in mind when it came time to make her college choice.
Mm.
A fourth grader who has already played two seasons, on the girls' high school at a 300 student private school in Orlando, Florida, is actively being recruited by the University of Miami.
What school is this?
What
high school is this? Yeah.
It's in Orlando. It's I had the name of it, but I usually don't say names. So it's
a
private school in Orlando. I've never heard of it.
I want to say they've been on the news.
Yeah, but check this out now, because this ain't the end of the story. She is believed to be the youngest girls player ever to get recruited by a Division I program. She averaged 14.5 points and 7.5 assists per game this season while playing against teenagers. Now, you got to remember, she's 9 playing in varsity.
She's in fourth grade.
Yeah. She is 4'7", point guard, who has gained national prominence for her performance. The family is no stranger to attention for basketball preoccupy, as her older brother, 12, played on the varsity boys team this winter as a sixth grader.
Who that daddy?
The daddy the coach.
Yeah, daddy the coach.
Oh, man, this is crazy.
So I thought that was just excellent, man. I thought it was excellent. And the daddy said when they called, we thought they was calling for the son, which is still crazy. He's 12.
Wow.
9 years old, man.
How tall was our high school point guard?
Was she 5 foot?
I think I guess she was about 5 foot.
In the fourth grade, she might have been 4'7", though.
Mm.
She could have played in the fourth grade with our high school team.
That's where I'm going.
I really believe that.
That's good.
When I was doing this, that's who came to my mind. Sheila James. Sheila James came to my mind. Sheila James Simpson. Now, no disrespect, but it was Sheila James then in high school.
You got it right, Steph. You fixed
that. Yeah, I had to fix it. I had to fix that up.
You fixed that.
Get that up, of course. They be doing that. So you say Kiara Howell, I'm going to have a problem. I'm going to have a problem.
It makes sense now.
Yeah.
It makes sense. If I can see it.
And see, but
we
saw it. Ain't nobody else seen what we seen either, though.
But we don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know that.
We don't know that. And obviously somebody is.
I would have never thought this.
No.
What's crazy is because the way basketball has evolved, Sheila would have been doing this if we would have been this far ahead, baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't that far ahead because we honestly, and this is crazy to say, but we forgot Sheila was a girl growing up.
She could have played on the boys team.
She could have played on the boys team while she was playing on the girls team. Yeah. She was better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, I ain't gonna go there. Let me slow down. Because these old boys, three of them talk about. But I'm one of them, and I'm gonna be honest. She was better than me.
Yeah, well, you know.
On an all around level. Listen, I have no deflated confidence or nothing like that. Yes, I was a decent basketball player. But on the skill level that Sheila had, really on the skill level, the closest skills, I'm gonna go out there. KB. Just fundamentally skill sound at Pamela High. The only person I can place next to Sheila when we was in school is Pete.
Difference being, now I don't know if Sheila played AAU or if she was. I've never seen her play in
the. I don't think play outside of Houston.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. All that was.
So how did you get all this? Think about this now. Nobody ever developed these skills in her. Where did she get all this?
I don't know. Because even when we look back at it, you know, she just started playing with
us. I mean, but listen, who would be the first one on the court?
Huh?
And the last one on the court.
That's true.
Every day.
I'm sorry. We got caught up.
Yeah,
we were supposed to be talking about the girl. But that's a tremendous feat, man.
Yeah.
For a D1 school and Miami at that.
Yeah.
To invite you to the bus in Miami.
The same school she even went to.
Yeah. That's where all that came back to me. All that came back to me. So with that, we're going to close this out and go into today's show. But Sheila James Simpson, big ups, you know what I'm saying? You're a legend. You're a living legend. Also, I'm going to send that shout out to my boy, Kitchen Pool, KP. Living legend. Because respect is where it should be, and we're going to give it where it's due. And that's that. With that, we're moving on to today's show. Today's show title is What's the Norm? American?
Mm-hmm.
I know the title throw you off, but you know what we're asking you, and we're going to go on into it. I mean, it's a topic that we think should be delved into, and we're going to do that. Pretty much our first topic under the title is PASS. Are you really African?
Are you really African?
Yeah.
That's a tough question. Like, if somebody walked up to you and asked you that, like, do you really believe you're African, what would your answer be?
I don't know.
And that's the sad reality. We don't know.
Yeah, if you answer the truth, you don't know.
I don't know. I don't know where I come from. That hurts.
You hurt, because the first thing you said, that's what they call me.
All right. So, in preparation for this, I tried to be a little prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start out with history. And what history teaches us is that our ancestors to America from Africa during the transatlantic slave trade. Now, although there has been no dispute to the validity of the claim, there has been very little conversation or education as to our history before arrival to the New World or what we now call America, which is what I just asked. If you believe that, and all of us said, well, I don't know.
Right.
Now, given that some thought, I'm pretty sure if you line up 50 people and 10 of them are black, I'm going to say,
mm-hmm.
the other 40 going to have some idea of their roots and where they come from, other than past a certain time frame, I'll put it that way. I found it very peculiar that in all my years of school and I have little knowledge of my supposed ancestry prior to slavery other than being kings and queens, quote, of Africa. Every other race of people can trace their heritage through history books to a period before America, besides the quote-unquote African-American, which makes me question why. Could it be as simple as historians not having any knowledge prior to their encounter with us on that day? Could it be that they know, but because we were so insignificant at the time, they deemed it not important to include that in their records? Or could it be that knowing who we are and where we come from will render them totally powerless over us before the plan to use us for their financial gain? Either way, I think anyone who dares to put some serious thought into this question will find it pretty peculiar why the so-called African-American history begins with the migration from Africa to America. So I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, where do I go and try to find some facts, some history? Because we just said we can't go to the books that we got in school because we went through school and still don't know. So it ain't in there.
Right.
What about the internet? Well, do we consider internet facts? Because anybody can put anything on the internet.
True.
How do we know that it's the truth? Okay, so I can't go to the books. Can't go to the internet. Maybe I'll ask some people. Well, in trying that,
yeah,
they don't know.
Yeah.
Who, yeah, like you said, who do you ask? All they know is what they was told, where they come from. They don't know. So now, where we go find out where we from? Where we go find out anything about us that has the potential to be true, that we can
be asked?
Because how about we read some African books? Well, I can't understand that dialect. I don't understand that language. I don't know that language. So I came back to this book that I hadn't heard about.
Mm-hmm.
I chose to go to the Bible. And I went there to see what the Bible said about slavery and history and the people involved in it, because I figured it had to be some kind of link between what we as black people have been through in history in this country and the Bible. Because how could something so significant be unspoken of?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So here we go. First place I started was where I know the mention of slavery and all of that happened, and that was in Egypt.
Right.
With Pharaoh and Moses, and that's how all of them come relevant. When you think Pharaoh, you think, what color people do you believe originated in Egypt?
From dark skin, fair skin. Definitely. Even the pictures we see today show that. It's the sun.
Right.
I mean, so even one way or the other, they're going to be darker. Mm-hmm. Not saying that that doesn't mean you're black. You know what I mean? Because...
Yeah, what else is it?
That you're dark from the sun?
Yeah.
Fair skin, well, we came to African American, but black people, was tan.
But you're still black. I mean, where I'm going with that is...
Oh, okay. Maybe I misinterpreted what you was asking. Yeah. At the end of the day, yeah, I believe they were black.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Now, the story, as it goes in the Bible, is that Moses was a Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, Pharaoh had put a decree out or something like that, where mm-hmm. he was going to kill all the Hebrew boys. He already had Hebrews in slavery, but we're going to kill the boys this and third. So here come Moses, his mama birthed him, keep him for a couple months. She knew they were going to kill him. She put him in the water, put him in the basket. He go across the story. For Moses to fit into Pharaoh, if we say Pharaoh, we believe Pharaoh was black. For Moses to pass as his relative and people not question how you got a Hebrew boy in your camp,
mm-hmm.
one will probably have to assume that Moses was probably black.
Yeah, right.
So if Pharaoh, who's an Egyptian, was black, Moses, who was a Hebrew, was black,
mm-hmm.
then there's a pretty good chance that all the people in that area during that time was probably
black. Yeah.
Okay. The point of making that is, yeah, we already agree that, I don't know what my point was, we were already black.
Yeah.
He went back to talking to the Hebrew people. When he went to get the people from Pharaoh or whatever, mm-hmm. he said that My people go. Mm-hmm. So if these are my people, then I'm assuming the Hebrews of that time that was in slavery in Africa, in Egypt was
black.
Moses delivered them, the Hebrews. They go on this journey. They supposedly part the sea. They go through the sea, harvest and all that. They go in the wilderness on their journey to a land that God promised them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm telling the story right.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you get to Deuteronomy, I think, in the Bible. Because Exodus was the actual, we leave in Egypt.
Right.
You get to Deuteronomy, and what that is these people, the Hebrew people, which, if I'm not mistaken, is Jesus,
right.
Where he came from. So I'm going to throw this out there, too. If all of them was black.
Jesus black.
Okay. Now, he giving them the laws and the, you know, what's expected of you now that you've been rescued from slavery. And the blessing and what will happen if you do what's right, and the curse and what will happen if you do what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In looking at the curses, I don't know if y'all ever read this, but I think it's 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Towards the end of that, it explains pretty much in detail all of these things that will happen to your people. I'm going to go back a minute. We know that Israel's original name was Jacob. You were named Jacob, Israel?
Isaac, ain't it?
No, Isaac was Jacob. That is.
Yeah.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
So Jacob was the one that wrestled with God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to rename you Israel because...
Right.
Okay. So the Israel originally was a man. He had 12 sons.
Mm-hmm.
The 12 tribes of Israel came from his 12 sons. Before he died, he blessed them all, boom, boom, boom. So the Israel we know now as the country stems from a man who, again, if all of them was black, then we're assuming that Jacob or Israel
was black.
In reading the oppression and I don't want to go through all that, but I'm going to read this one or two or three verses. This is Deuteronomy 28 chapter. Start at verse 52. They will lay siege to all the cities throughout your land until the high four-footed walls in which you trust fall down. They will besiege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is if you do wrong. He's already telling them, I got a land set aside just for you because you are my people. But if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, this is what will happen. Okay, 53. Because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege, you will eat the fruit of the womb, the flesh of the sons and the daughters of the Lord has given you. Even the most gentle and sensitive man among you will have no compassion on his own brother or the wife he loves or his surviving children. And he will not give to one of them any of the flesh of his children. He's eaten. It will be all he has left because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of all your cities. Let's get to the next one because it's talking about a woman who begrudged her husband. A sensitive woman, she's going to begrudge her husband and ain't going to care about this. No, no, no. 58, if you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt that you dread, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in the book of this law until you are destroyed. You who were as numerous as the stars in the sky will be left but few in number because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among all nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your ancestors have known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning you will say, if only it were evening. And in the evening, if only it were morning. Because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights of your eyes. The Lord will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. Now, in reading that, just off rip, who else fits that description?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely the selling of the slaves, and it's the blueprint. It's the blueprint. We can say, and I say this all the time, we can always say more than one ethnicity has been a victim of slaves. Right. But it's never, even when you look at it from the standpoint, it was never used in the manner ours was. Oh. And when I say ours, I mean as far as our culture, as the black culture. So yeah, that's if I read that, and I don't know what it's about, but I'm just reading it, I'm going to automatically relate that to the struggle of the black culture.
Now, I said I will send you back to Egypt. And I struggle with that. And I'm like, okay, you just came out of Egypt. This is after Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
You come back to Egypt and you say you'll sell yourselves, but no one will buy you. That don't make sense to me. I thought about it for a little bit. I'm like, oh, okay. Sending them back to Egypt don't necessarily mean you go back to the physical
place.
Egypt.
Yeah.
But you're
yeah.
going back to Egypt.
Yeah.
Remember what you just
went
through with
yeah.
Egypt. You're going back to that.
Yeah.
And you're going to go on ships. And nobody will buy you. Wait, but ain't that what slaves buy you?
Yeah.
Buy you.
Yeah.
No, what that means is ain't nobody going to be able to free you.
Yeah.
Because even as slaves back in this day, you were able to buy your way out. Or somebody could have bought you out. But when I send you back in, nobody's going to be able to release you until I come back.
Yeah.
Again, we came here as that in the, 1500s? That's when it all started, I think.
Yeah.
Here we is 2014, and we still in that different type.
But it's still bondage.
Still in bondage. Still slave. So who is it? The significance of this is, you have to understand the promise that he gave to the Hebrew people.
Mm-hmm.
What they should have been living like, and what, because of their choices, what they ended up living like. What that should make us do if we believe that that's us. We don't got to be here. Not necessarily saying we don't got to be in America because it's part of his plan, but we don't have to be in the position that
we're in. Right. We don't have to be in the mindset we in.
No.
Yeah.
And then, am I African? All these years I've been told I'm African-American. Well, wait, though. If these are Hebrew people, and these are my ancestors, if this be true, if all this passed down to my ancestors, they left Africa as Hebrews and came to America and became African, then I really don't know who I am.
So what I'm getting you basically is, and we didn't talk about it, so I know, but I just want to clarify, most of the fact that you're saying is, well, you think it starts in Africa, it didn't really start in Africa.
No, you just got caught in
Africa
because you were in your land, and because of your disobedience in your land, you got ran out of your land and forced into Africa and other places, and then
right.
when all this slave trade and all this stuff happened, which was way after what we just read.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it was told what would happen, and
right.
it happened. So, I guess this book is the truth.
We say it all the time. It's the only book we know that was written way before us, but it's still credible today as it was yesterday. And it's the same things occur that happened years ago are still happening today, and the only place we can go back and trace it to is the Bible. That's no accident. There's no accident. I mean, you can say, oh, that's just out of the blue. Well, then let's say God out of the blue, because that's what it is. If you don't want to accept it for what it is, then you can live in, like you say, that mindset.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard for me to accept. Simply because I think we tread a thin line when we start taking the Bible literally.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know you said if you believe that. Mm-hmm. I think it's tricky when you use the Bible, something that can be interpreted 1,000,000,000 ways. I made up a number.
Okay.
It's ours.
No, that can be interpreted a lot of different ways and try to use it as a reference to history. That's where you lose me a little bit.
But why? Okay, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe the story of Adam and Eve?
I do not.
You don't. Okay. Do you believe the story about Jesus?
I do believe the stories of Jesus in the Bible. I believe that there was a prophet.
Mm-hmm. Here's the overall question. Do you, I want to ask that question because I want to set you up for that. If you believe the story of Jesus in the Bible, why can't you believe everything else that's in the Bible? Jesus, the story of Jesus, if you really sit down and think about it, the story of Jesus in the Bible should be the hardest for you to believe. With all the miracles and with all of this and with all of that, and you died and got up again, you ain't never seen nobody die and get up again. That should be the hardest story to believe. So I can't believe that two people disobeyed God and that's where sin came from.
You know, well, this is where I struggle because, like I've said on shows before, I don't necessarily consider myself a Christian. I believe in God, but I don't necessarily consider myself a Christian because there are too many questions for me. Okay, you know, I'm gonna dab into it a little bit. Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a Christian, you can't believe in evolution.
No,
you can't.
Impossible.
It's impossible for you to believe in evolution if you're a Christian.
I don't even want to say if you're a Christian.
If you're spiritual.
If you believe in God, you can't believe in
I disagree with that. How? There's a higher being that created us. I can't believe that. I'm supposed to believe that this was just coincidence that we're here.
Well, but then that's my evolution then,
yeah,
why can't it be evolution? How can I not believe in evolution but believe in God? Okay.
The evolution God made.
No, say it the other way. How can you believe in God and believe in evolution?
Okay. How can I believe in God and believe in evolution?
Yeah.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
That can do anything,
mm-hmm.
right? If we were his creation, why would he waste his time, really, just creating us? Here's a garden. Have at it. Why would he do that? Why would he waste his time? Why would he not
use what?
Or take what his creation and start it from the beginning? How old is this planet? How old is our God?
There is no way you talk about.
Thank you. So why would we say that he did not take our planet?
That's a hell. That's a great dynamic he's doing.
Well, I'm trying. I'm
take
trying
our planet mm-hmm. and want to see where we go from the very beginning. That makes no sense. Even if he looked at it as a scientist project, you don't go into a science project and start halfway through the project.
But
you start from the very beginning.
Right.
And that's how you build your hypothesis.
And his word says, in the beginning.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. His word did not say that. No, 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 no. His word did not say that.
What did it say?
Man's word said that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
God ain't waste. God ain't waste his time writing no Bible. Man wrote the Bible.
Okay. Here we go. I'm ready for this.
Yeah, it is.
Here we go.
Yeah, it is.
Man may have sat down and physically put words on paper. Maybe. And in doing, well, okay, granted, in doing so, just like if I tell you something, and I just had this conversation the other night with my friend, it's crazy, but if I tell you something, and you turn around and tell Derek something, it's a slim chance that you're going to say it exactly like I said. So yeah, that gives the room for you to put your spin on what I said. I get that. I get that. In believing in God, something you have never seen, only heard of, that requires faith. So if you're going to put the faith into believing that he exists, why let your faith stop there? Why not allow your faith to trust him totally? If I believe you, I have to believe your word. I have to. Other than that, I got halfway faith. Like, I believe you, but I don't believe nothing else out there.
No. I don't question my faith in any measure. No way.
I'm not saying question your faith. I'm asking just like you asked me a question, I'm turning around and asking you a question.
Okay.
If your faith is in God, and he says that it is impossible to please me, or the Bible says that it is impossible to please God apart from faith, why would you let your faith stop at, I believe that there's a God that exists? Now what? What you do with that?
I do a lot with that.
I'm asking you. What
do
you
do
with
that? With that? I build my faith off that. That is something bigger than us.
How do you know what he wants from you? How do you know who he is to you? How do you know anything about God other than there is, I believe you there?
Prayer.
How do you know anything?
Prayer. I gotta have a Bible in front of me to pray?
No, you don't.
I need to have a Bible to know to pray?
This is what it comes down to, though, Bo. And I get both of y'all points, and I think that's a great dynamic. This is what it comes down to. The Bible is pretty much our blueprint. And if you believe that God is doing these things for you now, which he's showing to you, for you to see. If I sat down and wrote it, it may not be exactly how it happened to you, but it's a testament to what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Bible is. It's just different people's interpretation of what they've seen God doing in
their lives. That's how I look at it. I look at the Bible as a collection of stories.
Right.
Of people's testimony.
Right.
What God has done for them.
Or what they've just witnessed. We could say because in the time. Yeah.
However, you know, it's a collection of testimony.
Right.
That's how I look at the Bible. I go to the Bible for reference.
Right.
You know, on how to deal with a similar situation.
Right.
Well, then I go back to, if you struggle with believing, and I know we're off topic, but we're going to get back, but this is where we're supposed to be, because this is where we're at.
This is where we're at.
If you believe the story of Jesus, that's all man's account. Everything about what is written, a man wrote it. So how can you bring yourself to believe that?
His faith's so strong, he don't want to give man no credit.
But you have to.
I get it, and I get his point, and I get what you're saying. And that's why I'm kind of in the middle of it. Bone believes so heavily in God. Okay, you know this, you know that. No, I give everything to God, so I in turn to take everything from him. I want nothing from you. I get that. And his point is valid, because that's his faith. But as you're saying, on the other side, why not take his story? It's just an account. You can tell me your testimony, and I take it as an account and follow God.
Well, then that's my fault then, because, that proves my point, that we can't use the Bible for historical purposes. I mean, it's a man's story.
So if that be the case, then we shouldn't use anything for his story. Everything you read is a man's testimony. Everything.
Well, there's documents.
A man wrote it. I don't give a damn. Sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
Man wrote it. So if you're going to take a man that you can walk and touch and look at,
he agreed with us and don't know it.
For what happened in your history, who you are, where you come from, I'm telling you who you are.
Yeah, your history being wrote, man. Nobody's just maybe not putting it on paper.
I understand my history.
It's been written.
I'm just saying, I think you're towing a thin line when you're trying to use the Bible for the purpose.
I look at it totally different. Like, what else would I rather use?
No.
Like, there's nothing else.
Bob won't use his understanding, his spiritual relationship.
But
with
he
God.
Wasn't there.
But he didn't. But as far as reference, I guess he.
Let me tell you. I don't know where I'm from. I don't know where my ancestors are from. I mean, outside of what I've taken from my father.
I know where he's going to go, dude.
You know what I'm saying? My father has told me my family was not slaves, and I took that, and I believe. Said my family was landowners. I believe that. That's what I go off of. So where, if I'm from Africa, I don't know where I'm from. I know I have a Puerto Rican or some Hispanic type descent. So I can't sit here and tell you where I'm from. I take the title as African American dumbfoundedly simply because they gave it to me.
But the, you know, the truth of the matter is, it's almost like Derrick Bailey in court. You just take the name because that's what you know. You know what I mean? But the truth is, and to Bone's point, I understand the going back to the African American, the black, the white, all that. But I'm a child of God, and that's all that matters to me. But in a historical stance, it is enlightening to understand that I may have, it may not be just Africa I come from.
Well, but here's the thing. Now, I don't know if you take the same position that you feel like you shouldn't have been in the Bible.
No, I didn't say that.
I don't know if you feel that way. But for you to say, yes, you are a child of God, but understanding who you are tells you more about what that means to be.
That's why I said that's enlightening. I think when you bring color or a title to it, if we took black and white out of America and just didn't get along, what would we blame then? Each other, which would be, if you think about
it. You still got them two forces out there.
Make me colorblind. It's going to be bad and good, though. I'm saying it comes back to bad and good, which is okay. Because now you have to deal with bad and good. You can't blame it on something else. So that's why I say to me, you call me black. You can call me yellow. You can call me green. I'm a child of God. So I understand that God loves us all. He don't see no color.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I get it from the historical standpoint, because I do want to know my history. I want to know what the fact that I may not have came from Africa, and that's all I know, enlightens me. Because at the end of the day, why wouldn't I want to know who I am, like you said?
What I got from this, from reading this, and I read a whole lot more, and I plan to go more, but we just got caught up in something else.
Hell, man, we got another hour.
African-American thing makes it about color.
Yeah.
It makes it about a race.
It separates
me from everybody else on a carnal level.
Yeah. That was just me pulling away from it.
I got you.
Yeah.
Now, if we want to look at good and bad, and we want to look at God is who he is and what he said in the Bible for those that believe it, there is a set of people that he has set aside that he calls his own. Now, I love you all, but these are mine. Wouldn't it be significant, or shouldn't it be significant to know that you are one of those?
Yeah.
For the God that you say you believe in?
Yeah.
That would change, that should change my whole outlook on life. To know all this time that I've been believing, or I shouldn't even say what I believe, I never knew that I held this position.
You was looking at me, so I'm assuming that I was aimed towards me.
No. I'm not aiming it at anybody, but if you feel the need.
I'm one of God's children because I know I'm one of God's children. I don't need a book to reinforce that for me. I don't need someone's story to solidify that for me. I just know it. So I don't want to sit here and make people think I'm discrediting the Bible. That's your thing, read the Bible. I choose not to. It's a choice now. Before it was ignorance. Now I don't want to pollute what I have. What I have, I feel like it's pure, and that's what I want to keep.
See, and that's what I was saying. His faith is so strong in what he wants and what he has, he don't want nothing else to get in the way of
it. Man has done a lot of great things.
I respect
one of those great things
that
man has done was create the Bible.
I respect.
See? That's why I say I think he understands us, but at the same time we have to be free and open to the fact and understanding that he's in a place that's good.
Okay. So here's where I get my from, I guess is the right way to say that. See, I believe in God like this. Because I don't know, I'm forced to trust you. But because I want to know, I'm going to seek. And if this Bible is here and it's supposed to be your word, I'm going to search this Bible. And I'm trusting that if this is not the way for me to go, you'll correct me. But I won't shut it off from the simple, based on the simple fact that I know a man wrote it, because I know you've used man since man has been here. You've used man. Who else would you use? You've used man to take care of animals, to take care of this planet. You could have done it without man, but you gave it to man. So now why would I take away from man's role, the responsibility that you've given man? I believe that God gives man responsibility. Now, until he corrects me and tells me this is not the route for you to go, then I need to dive into this a little more. And that's what I came into this week. Like, okay, I believe this because it's too much to be coincidental. From the beginning to the end, you can go back and read it and see it. I read it, I see it. Man that wrote that book so many thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago couldn't tell me what would be happening today. There's no way you would know that unless that being gave it to you. So that alone in itself let me know that this is bigger than man.
Yeah.
Man couldn't have done this. Granted, man uses it the way they want to. But that's where it comes into... Yeah, but that's where it comes into a personal accountability to go in and seek for yourself. That's where the prayer comes. Lord, show me what you want me to get.
I don't like the trusted word. I don't like accountability. What am I accountable for?
I'm totally understanding both of y'all points, right? I agree with Core, but I respect where Bone comes.
Yeah, I respect it.
I respect it totally because I think what he's saying is just like we asking him that. Understand, we want to go and get our understanding from the Bible. He's saying, I don't want to do that. I got my understanding through God.
The Bible is for people that need that. Okay, you can't feel it. You can't get that connection with me instinctively, or you question what you feel instinctively. Here, if you need concrete evidence, if you need something else to prove the point that you already know, then here, read this.
Why can't it be, just my question, why can't it be, I've heard you, I believe you, I trust you, because of what I said, so now I want to know more.
I think it will happen. I think, and this is just me, and it's totally me being interpreted in something that stands on outside, so excuse me before I say it, but I think, really, honestly, he's getting himself prepared with God right now. If we believe, like we, me and you, believe that the Bible is our true testament to walk through life, he's going to come a time that he understands God so well, he's going to go to the Bible.
And
right now, he may not be there.
What I wanted to say, and I didn't want to sound offensive, and I didn't want to sound as though I know something you don't. I've been in this struggle for a long time. And I fought it. I was at that place. I've been at that place for a long time. Like, I don't need that. Why do I need that? God is who he is, and he gave me the ability to talk to him. I don't need that. But he corrected me. This is why you need. Now, I still feel the same way about church, but the Bible, I understand. That's beneficial for me. Whether you ever come to that place and you or not, that's between you and God. I'm not here to try to tell you you need that, but when you ask questions, I give you the answer. And like you said, I respect where you stand. I respect where you – I understand it. Been there.
You win. You got God. Regardless, at some point, he's going to get to where he needs to be. We know that.
Confirmed or corrected.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
So that, don't think in no way, shape, or form, because we disagree, we down you. That's not it.
At all.
The fact that you got God, that's all that matters. That's why we here together. Yeah. I mean, that's just what it comes down to, you know? So, Bone, hey, I respect your position. I understand it. I even like the dynamic you're doing in evolution because I'm just so cold-minded to evolution because I believe God did it.
Yeah,
but
that's all
I see what you're saying. Evolution was created through God. It's again a man word. So if you're saying evolution, did you take that from what he created?
I never really understood, and I'm sorry, I'm slow, but I never really understood the point that you were making when you said, why would God do this or do that and this, that, and third when it comes to evolution. I didn't understand what you were saying. You said, well, I get what you're saying. I'm like, I don't. Can you tell me what your question was
okay.
So I can?
What do you know of evolution? That we, you know, I disagree with necessarily a rock, but that we started as a small water-dwelling organism that evolved into something that came out of the water and began to breathe on land, that evolved into something else, that evolved into something else.
No.
The planet is that old. How can you question that?
Because we are too perfectly made.
Okay, I don't doubt that. I don't question that at all.
He's saying it was God's evolution.
This is God's creation.
What he said originally was like, if he started here, why go to the middle and make something else? Use what I've already made and build from that to build man. So he's saying, ultimately God created us.
Yes.
But it was through evolution. How could I?
So he's going to make a full-grown man and drop him in a garden. Take a rib and make another.
This is my problem with evolution. Most of the time, evolution does not give God credit.
See, when you go with that.
Right.
When you go with that argument, though, you can say why the trees ain't come from that. Or why the birds ain't come from that. Or why
all that. Come on.
How you know that?
But this is what we're going to end. Because
trees ain't walking, breathing, and talking.
But the fact
they live in organisms.
They are.
But
so therefore, they have a life.
They
something
were created for that reason, to produce oxygen so that we, man, animals, can live. He created that for a reason.
He keeps saying he created. So I don't have a problem with what Bone's saying. I have a problem with evolution because evolution doesn't give God credit.
Right.
Bone's saying inside of evolution, he's giving God credit
for
the tree. Right. So I'm good with that. That's why I say it's a good dynamic.
Right. You know, evolution is science.
Right.
Scientists would never give God his credit.
Right.
They would never
do
that.
Right.
Because then they're not science.
Right. But if we gave the definition to evolution from God's standpoint, it would be him creating all.
He created heaven and earth.
Man gave evolution the title it wanted to, which discredited God, which gives me the problem with. From where Bone's saying it from,
not gonna ever
he's giving God
credit. I ain't gonna never discredit God.
So regardless of how it was done, you still realize that God
did
it.
Yeah, that was the case.
Yeah,
that's why I said I understood it. That's why I said it.
Well, then it's not for us, because none of us were there. It's not for us to debate how it was done, as long
right.
as we
you
understand
know,
and
he
realize
does.
That he did it.
Right.
I was just saying,
right.
That's
right.
My issue with the Bible.
Right.
That's where, you know, they lose me. Off rip.
With the stuff, the original story.
Off
right.
rip.
And that's why he has a problem with the credibility of you telling your story back. Because he figures if God is good enough to make the whole world, why wouldn't he use what's already there to make up? Which is said in the Bible, we came from a pebble of sand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so it comes to Bone Point. Evolution is there, but it's not the definition of evolution we know of in the Matrix. Boom. There it is.
Okay, so we went around in a circle.
We got back
to
where
we
need to be.
We got back to this point.
I told him we were saying the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Are we really African?
Nobody knows. But.
It is enough credible evidence to prove Africa may not have been where we originated.
No, that may have been where we come from.
Right.
But it don't mean necessarily that we are African in descent.
Right.
By being African in descent, that eliminates you from the promise that there's a certain people that I hold dear.
Mm-hmm.
And because of their disobedience, I will allow them to go through what they're about to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And until they get to a place where they come back to me and realize I am who I am and don't question who I am and give me what I want, they will stay there.
Yeah.
And nobody can pull them out of that. But once they do that, then I come back and I reverse it. I take care of everything. I'll give them what I promised them. Why that's significant is because, again, if you're in that number, that should mean something to you.
Yeah.
Not only am I a child of God, but he holds me at a different place than he holds the rest of his children. He has a different promise for me. He has a different place for me. And it's hard to accept that going through the struggle that our ancestors have gone through. But why have you gone through that struggle? Why has it been the way it has been? Why has the secret been kept from you? Because you haven't seeked it out. You haven't went and sought it for yourself.
It makes sense. It makes total sense to me. It opened my eyes. It opened my eyes to a lot.
I'm leaving alone.
I get you.
You know what I'm saying? I get
my eyes to a lot.
It's hard because I feel like you're referencing an incomplete document is what you're referencing.
What document is that?
The Bible. It's incomplete.
How?
Because the version we have is the edited version. How many books, how many stories that were in the original Bible that have been locked away by the Catholic Church, have been locked away by other people, other stories that have been locked away that we'll never see?
Even if the books were on the table, would you believe it?
They wrote it.
So why does it matter that they ain't in there?
Hey, like you say, that should mean something to you. That means something to me.
I'm confused because if you ain't going to believe it anyway, why does it matter that they ain't in
there? I'm coming from my homeboy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get that.
If we don't... This is where, and this is the research part of me come in, because when you have facts, you can't dispute. The fact is, those stories that you referenced to T earlier are validated if you believe the Bible.
That's it.
And if you believe the Bible, if that's a fact, you have to say, okay, that's what it is. Bone point, on the other hand, is, well, we do know what there are books of the Bible that are said to be locked away because the church wanted a certain way. The church didn't want you to hear this. We know there are discrepancies as far as the Bible being put out and how it was interpreted in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So to him to say, yeah, I discredit the Bible, it's factual. He has facts to say why. So
it's not factual because we don't know that there are books. We've heard that there are books that were missing.
Well,
we don't know that.
We do know the church had its own discrepancies on how it put the Bible out and wanted certain parts of the Bible to be interpreted.
Everything about history is something that was told to us. We don't know that either. We weren't there. We don't know that.
If there's no facts on the Bible.
There comes back to what?
Faith.
Thank you. So if you're going to believe in him, why not believe all the way in him or none in him? Why leave that gray area?
There is no gray area for me. Just because I don't read the Bible doesn't mean it's a gray area for me. That doesn't mean that I don't believe in the whole thing. I just mean I question the Bible. The Bible, my faith in God is bigger than the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
My faith in God is bigger than the Bible. And I'm not going to substitute my or limit myself to fall within the pages of a book that man wrote to say that I believe in him. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to discredit him. I'm not going to discredit him. I'm not going to discredit my faith or my belief in him. I'm not going to do it. He's too great of a God for me to limit him.
Yes, sir. I like it.
In the pages of the Bible.
I like this. I like it.
I'm telling you, I understand. I've been there.
And I'm there.
You there?
Yeah.
It may never change for me. It may never change for me.
I'm there, bro. I'm right where I need to be. I am completely different than where I was a year ago.
Yeah.
Because of my belief and faith in God. You're probably right, Dad. I just don't want to give man credit.
Yeah.
Because man has done too much dirt. You can say curse. You can call it whatever you want. What it was man manipulating another race of people. It was man versus man. No.
Because if you believe in God, you got to believe in a force that opposes God. So take this out of man's hands. This ain't no man can do
that. That's man. That's man being manipulated by a buddy. That is man.
So then man don't get credit for that.
God created us. God loves us. God ain't going to put us through that. Now, he put us through it.
It's your choice.
He's saying what you're looking for, good and evil.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Good
it ain't got nothing
I
to do
never
with man.
Questioned, but I never questioned good and evil. But you got to put man in there because we are man.
You have no power. You have a decision, but you don't got no power. You have no power to do anything other than make a choice. Who you going to believe in? That's the power that you have. What decision am I going to make and the reason why I'm making this decision? Outside of that, you can't control nothing. You can't stop the rain from falling.
Like I said, man, the Bible is like a textbook. If you know statistics backwards and forth,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to need no textbook. You already know it.
Mm.
If I already know God, I don't need a textbook to teach me to know
how
God.
How did you come into the knowledge of God?
How?
How?
Well, you see.
Mm.
First of all, let me state this. Let's say I am from Africa. Let's say I'm obviously from somewhere other than the New World, America, right? And I'm pretty sure my ancestors did not know Christianity, did not know the Bible, but they knew a God. They knew, I hope, the God. So I don't necessarily, where I got it from, it came up out of me. I know my mama, you know, loved God. You know, she said it a lot. You know what I'm saying? I hear my daddy say it.
You know what you're still leaning on?
You know, what am I leaning on?
The accounts of the Bible. Because just because you don't
read. I thought my daddy ain't never give me no accounts of the Bible.
That's not what I'm saying.
But you
have you ever seen your mama read the Bible?
Yes.
Okay. You say you got God through your mama and your daddy and this, that, and the third. You got it from the Bible.
I got
it indirectly.
That, I got it from them, and then I got it from just
life.
Life.
And I get that. But somebody had to, I'm saying that knowledge is just not something that you just have. No, it has to be given. And it has to be given from somewhere.
Divine knowledge can just be given.
It can be. It can be. It can be.
If I believe in my Lord wholeheartedly, he's going to give me the knowledge.
Now, you said to me again, I see you, you just said about you.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this.
I am too. Because I don't feel like we're arguing.
No, I'm not.
This is what I consider iron sharpening iron. Because
yeah.
you strong where you at, and I'm strong where I'm at. And one of us going to sharpen the other one. Or we might both sharpen each other.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, here we go. You said, I'm good where I'm at. I ain't where I was a year ago. I'm good where I'm at. So what are you saying? Have you arrived? Is there nowhere else for you to go?
I didn't say that.
Okay, so from where you are with God, because God is everything,
mm-hmm.
where else could you go? If you got God right now, where else is there for you to advance to?
God's limit.
How? You got what you need. Ain't nothing higher than God. Ain't nothing more than God. And you already got that. So how can you go any further?
I can go a lot further. I don't understand what you mean. And what? As far as what? My search for what?
No, I ain't saying nothing about a search. I'm saying you stated it. I am not in the place where I was a year ago. And I'm assuming, maybe I should ask this question, but I'm assuming you are not in that place because you didn't have God a year ago. Now, today, I can stand here and say, and I know that I have God right now. So if God is everything and there's nothing else that I can attain that's higher than God, I've arrived.
I haven't arrived, and I got God.
That's what I'm asking you. Where else can you?
I don't know. Wherever you take me. I'm going to go there with him.
You get what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah.
Because I may not be asking my question.
I think I got it. You want me to say, what is it that you're asking? Because, I mean, the end of my search is just supposed to be that I found God? That's supposed to be the end of my search? I never said that was my search in the first place. I said I know God. I didn't say that I was in search for God. I said I know him.
Right.
So my search, my journey has not ended.
Okay.
If anything, my journey has just begun, but I can't get anywhere without him.
That's why you feel like, according to me, from my understanding, and I agree with you if this is what you're saying, I'm good, I don't need nothing else.
I'm good in the sense of I don't need the Bible to show me God. I got God. If that's the point of the Bible, I got him.
The point of the Bible is not to show you. We've had this discussion before. I'm not saying the point of the Bible is to show you God, because the Bible can't make you believe in God or not. That's a choice that you make.
Mm-hmm.
What the Bible can do is assist you in life. When you go through situations, you can turn to that as a point of reference for any situation that you might be facing.
Yeah, I think
now, whether it's written by man and it's should be strong enough to know that he knows my heart and my reason for searching this book. So, if he does not correct me, then I can't accept that nothing is wrong with it, regardless to who wrote it. I know he didn't sit down and write it. I know that.
Well, he hasn't corrected me yet either.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the beauty in it. He's not closing off the correction. He's just saying it hasn't happened. If it's going to happen, I trust in God to let it happen. What I hear you saying more and more than anything else is that at the end of the day, he did say earlier, at some points he do reference to some things in the Bible. He just don't trust all of them. So I think he's somewhere he don't know he's going yet, and he probably getting it. And I'm okay. All I needed to hear him say was he believes God.
Yeah.
That was it. After that, it was good. I know he'll get to where I think he going or where I think he may need to go. What I think and what I want for Bone ain't going to matter no way because he got who he needs. You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's do this because we weigh in. And
we got to get this down. I'm nervous.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, X for me. I want y'all to check this out. And based on what we went through in the beginning before we got lost in that right there, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, that's cool.
Check this out, and we're going to come back with this one and get your thoughts on that.
We believe in the truth that is in the Bible, but we don't believe in the lies that the white man has put in the Bible. We believe in the prophets and the scriptures they brought to the people. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, not in the physical resurrection, but in mental resurrection. We believe that the so-called Negroes are most in need of mental resurrection. Therefore, they will be resurrected first. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, but not when you're physically dead. When you stop breathing and your heart stops beating and that man stick you in the ground, that's all she wrote. You are not going anywhere. Your soul isn't going anywhere. Your body isn't going anywhere. Nothing is happening after that. When you're dead, you're done. That's it. You can forget it. Then if that's all of it, what about the resurrection? He says that our people are dead. Negroes are dead. Walking zombies. You're the one that the book is talking about who is dead. Dead to the knowledge of yourself. Dead to the knowledge of your own people. Dead to the knowledge of your own God. Dead to the knowledge of the devil. Why, you don't even know who the devil is. You think the devil is someone down inside the ground that's going to burn you after you're dead. Why, the devil is right here on top of this earth. And he's giving you hell every day. And you're still too dead to see it. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe that the 20 million black people in America in the last days will be taught the truth. The trumpet of truth will sound in your ear. That is being sounded today, the trumpet of truth. And this truth strikes your ear and strikes your heart. It'll open your eyes. It'll open your ears. It'll make you stand up. It'll do the same thing for you that truth did for the dry bones in the valley. Because the picture of dry bones in the valley is talking about you. The picture of Lazarus laying dead 4 days is talking about you. You are Lazarus. You are the dry bones. You are the prodigal son. You are the lost sheep. You are the people about whom the Bible is speaking who will stand up in the last day when the trumpet is sounded. Black people are waking up. Black people are standing up. Black people are rising up and they're sowing faith. We believe we are the people of God's choice. That's what we believe. We believe we're the chosen people. We don't believe Jews are the chosen people. We don't believe Jews are the ones going to the promised land. We don't think Jews are a part of God. No, Jews are nothing but another part of that same race of devils that come out of Europe. They didn't even come out of the Holy Land. They come out of the caves of Europe. We furthermore, we believe we are the people of God's choice. As it is written, that God would choose the rejected and despised. And we can find no other person fitting this description in these last days more than the so-called Negroes in America. We believe in the resurrection of the righteous. We believe in the judgment. We believe this first judgment will take place as God revealed right here in America.
Right.
The judgment will take place in America. The resurrection will take place in America. The judgment will take place in America. The separation will take place in America. And the destruction will take place in America. Doom will take place in America. Doomsday will take place right here. This is the place the Bible is talking about. When the Bible mentions Babylon, it means America. When the Bible mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, that's America. When the Bible mentions Egypt, that's America. This is Rome. This is Babylon. This is that wicked kingdom that God is going to come and set fighting to in the last day. And you're living in that day right now. And I'm glad.
Brother Malcolm. Now, my ignorance has always thought that Muslims were something totally different and believed something totally different than the quote-unquote Christian.
Mm-hmm.
In searching for myself, I understand that it is faith and it is God. It is in God. When I have nothing else, that is what I lean on. And that's what I'm hearing you say. And I know, roundabout way, I get it. And I said I respect it. It's just, I felt as if Bible was just wrong to you. It's just not for you. In listening to what we just heard, what kind of questions, I'm not questions, what kind of opinions, comments, beliefs, disbeliefs do you have in what he said?
I agree with what Malcolm X said, the great Malcolm X said, in that little bit of the speech we got. I'm not sure if it was the whole or not, but from what I picked up from it, of course, it's more than years. But the thing is, what I hear him saying, which we've been hitting on the whole day, the scrub. Mm-hmm. And he's pointing out the fact that you don't even get you in that scrub. And that's the problem, because you're dead. Yeah. And don't even realize it. But when you're dead, you're done. There's nothing you're doing right now if you're dead. You can be living. And it's possible to live dead. It's very possible. I did it. I did it for a long time. So I know. Because now, I always say this, living don't need no introduction. Because once living step in, Bone explained it to us real nicely earlier. Once he got God, everything changed. So I get it, but that's that struggle. That's that struggle he emphasized on us. He went into, you don't realize the devil is right amongst you. You think you got to go to hell. You in hell.
Giving you hell every day.
Yeah. Already.
What we don't speak on is the opposite side of that. Now, we heard what I would say is the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're not really negative, it's just information. It's just truth. According to him, it's his truth.
Right.
That he's sharing. But the positive, or the spin on that is, this is not the way you have to live. This is not the way you were ordained to live. This is not the way it was set for you to live. You chose this.
Yeah.
Through your actions and your disobedience and your this and your that. The people, you don't even know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter to you who you are. But the reason why it should matter is because who you are means something to who you believe in. So that's why it should mean something to you. The promise that we are supposed to have somebody else living off of right now. Now somebody might say, well, ain't nothing I can do about that. Well, yeah, it is. Because it ain't going to change until we get that.
Yeah. And you always say the great ones, the ones who... this will go back to the Bible, but everybody who's read the gospel has been sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to Paul. You can go back to all the disciples.
If the way that man just said what he said, if he was
King, I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all the greats who said this is the message that we relate to be our truth, that we relate to the most, we lost because they stood out front. And that's what you say all the time. Anybody that's great, are they still here? But did they take them out?
Out of here.
They're out of here.
Now, you can be great at deceiving, and you can stay here.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're working for me, so you can stay here. But the ones who go against the grain, the ones who try to shine that light, and I'm talking about that real light. Now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that fabricated light.
Right.
That real light.
When you're playing, real.
You out of here.
That's true, though. And history shows that, proves that. You can't really dispute that. If you give me any name of someone that's great that stood for something on a grand level, we talking about. You know what I'm saying? Now this ain't no. I'm talking about grand. I'm talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, where you changed the nation. You sent something and you stuck to it.
You still do it.
I had to put that out there. There's no check move or throw out there at the president. I'm just saying the truth. But the matter is, because we can say he changed the outlook of things, yeah. But if he was stuck to the mission, see, you've said this on numerous occasions, he'd be out of here.
He's been done. Long time ago.
So, yeah, I get it.
Why you quiet over there? What you got?
Yeah. I ain't really got nothing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I took what was intended for me to take from Malcolm X.
Right.
You know, I've been into Malcolm X for a long time. I thought I was Muslim when I was 12. You know, so, but I say a lot of times, it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter whether you're Christian. It don't matter whether you're Muslim. None of that really matters. To God,
no.
At least I don't think it does. I don't think it should. I feel that the only thing that matters to God, as far as what He expects out of us, is to have a relationship with Him.
Right.
Give Him His credit.
Well, but how do we? In having a relationship with Him, you still walk amongst people.
Right.
How do you govern yourself?
That's the struggle. That's the struggle. That's why I have not arrived, because He's helping me deal with people.
I would never arrive. Me, personally, I never will.
No, it ain't about
and arrive. I don't want to. My arrival is not here. You know what I mean? And when I say that wholeheartedly, because I'm already committed to the fact whatever I'm doing here, I never see the fruit or the labor of it in the magnitude that I feel I want to. I feel like what I'm getting and what I'm setting myself up for, it's on the streets of gold. I'm just here to show and give an example of what God can do. That's it. In the best form I can.
On that note, we're running out of time. I had a couple more, but I want to give you one more because I want your opinions on this one, too. Go ahead and run that other one.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. So just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
No, I picked that one because our second topic was, are you really American? And we got stuck on the are you African part. But
mm-hmm.
And just listen to the first minute and a half of what he was saying. If you answer those questions, or if you consider what he was saying and consider his argument, can you consider yourself American? Do you have those rights that are in the Constitution? Is this place set to prosper you? Can you take advantage of the greatness, quote unquote, of America and being a quote unquote American? Or do you feel that the odds are stacked against you?
As far as going against it?
What you mean?
Going against the not accepting that America is my land. America was given to me. America is the promised land.
No, just based on your experiences in this country, do you feel as though you are considered
American?
And it be a valid consideration?
I say no. Simply because those words in the Constitution, they weren't intended for us. We had to force America to accept us. We had to fight for our freedom. We had to fight for equality. And we're still fighting.
You know what I take from that speech? And I listen to the speech a lot. And I take from it, this is my understanding of it, and it's totally my interpretation, so it may differ amongst others, but this is mine. I take what he's saying more than anything else is that why accept that the matrix of America tells us you have this, you have that, but you really don't, and accept that for what it is and take it and run with it and say, yes, America is mine, when the reality of it all really is, when it all comes down to it, I have God. I've seen what he's promised me. So why should I even buy into what you're saying? Because I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. So in his world, America doesn't exist in his mind. That's why he was free of what we was going through. That's why he seen where he was going. He was telling us indirectly, but directly. If you catch hold of what I'm telling you, get out of all that. Malcolm X said the same thing. Rise. It's him. You in it. Get him. Malcolm X might have been talking about, in Islam, I think their God is Allah. Okay, that's fine. He has a son that's named Muhammad that's the equivalent to Jesus in Christianity. You got two religions that's based different, but they got the same scripture. It's the same scripture. Muhammad was their prophet. Jesus was ours, if you want to say it in that sense. The similar story, so they're getting the same. You hear the same. I heard the same thing from Malcolm X. I just heard from Dr. Martin Luther King.
Different presentations.
And they believe two different religions, but it's the same God, and that can't change. You can't change it.
You know, because it's the same faith.
Yeah.
It's the faith in what I can't see, and I believe that it exists.
Yeah.
So I guess what we're saying is it does not really matter if you are African.
Or American.
It does not really matter if you are American. All that matters at the end of the day is that you know you are a child.
Oh God.
Oh God.
That's it. That's all. And you know what? I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I'm like, well, we could have said that in the beginning.
it wouldn't have been
able to get the knowledge out there, the understanding, to see why the dynamic is so hard to get the concept of.
That was the whole reason I felt like tackling this subject. It's because in trying to distinguish whether I'm from Africa, or whether I'm really an American, whether I can be considered an American. I get caught into all the carnal.
Mm-hmm.
The what I feel like the world owes me.
Mm-hmm.
What I feel like I'm entitled to from the worldly standpoint. But at the end of the day, me going to put in my work to get a degree, to obtain a good job, to be able to support my people, to be able to support myself, to be able to have the things I want. And the world establishes you.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, what have you really gained? Because you can keep none of that.
Yeah.
You can take none of that. At the end of the day, what I need to be concerned with, if you are the person that believes in an afterlife,
mm-hmm.
or if you believe you did, you're done. You know, mm-hmm. it don't really matter what happened after you did. You just did. Whatever you did. I guess I can't put it that way, because if you believe just when my breath stops here and nothing else matters, then all I'm concerned with is what happens here.
That's all I got.
I'm of the different belief that this don't even matter. This matters not one iota as far as what I have here. What matters about being here is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
With the time that I was given to be here.
And that's where I take the interpretation when you're dead, you're done. I look at it more as you're done what you need to do. I don't look at it as it's more we done transition. That's just me.
Well, but he specified, Malcolm, I'm talking about in his speech, like when you stop breathing and they put you in that dirt, your soul ain't going nowhere, your body ain't going nowhere, your nothing ain't going nowhere, you just done. I don't necessarily agree with that part.
I don't
agree with that part, but I do agree with some of the other statements that he made, and that's what lets me know that, man, everything is left up to interpretation.
Yeah, totally. You can catch something in anything.
That's it.
Yeah, and you don't have to agree with everything, but it's something in there for you. I mean, God is a wise God, which comes back to why everything is done for a reason. It's something in it for everybody. Half of our blessings are pleasantries that we realize after the struggle.
So if God is a wise God and everything has a reason, do you ever question what your time here is for? Or do you have the answer to that question? What is your time here? Why is your clock still ticking?
To do His will. Now, for me, in my understanding and everything I do, I believe I'm here to exemplify what God can do. And in doing that, I'm trying to uphold the standard that He set for me. Now, that standard, I don't know all the time, but He gives it to me.
I think the majority of us would never know the answer to that.
Yeah.
They'll never know what their purpose
is.
It's to have a purpose, I guess, would be the answer.
Yeah.
To have a purpose, to have something that you just believe in wholeheartedly.
Goes back to what Bone said, too. Not because y'all want my business. That's giving ourselves credit that God deserves. If we take the credit of knowing what our purpose is, then we're taking the credit from God. It's almost like man taking the credit for us, which we are man.
Say that last part again.
What, by man? Or it's almost like man
taking the credit
from God.
Yeah. Well, what now? What would equate to taking credit from God?
What was it?
Knowing your purpose?
No. What I'm saying is, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying God has our purpose. For us to know our purpose, right? Exactly. Are you understanding where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
For us to know our purpose is almost us saying we're taking the credit of what God knows for us.
No, I don't look at it like that. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I don't look at it like that.
I look at it like knowing your purpose is knowing your purpose. But He still gives you the choice of whether you want to do it or not. You still have the choice of whether me knowing my purpose don't take credit from God. Me knowing my purpose validates God.
I'm saying that, let me back up. Because then I could be wrong, but... your question was, how do you ask me?
Why do you think your clock is still ticking? Why do you think He still allows you to have the moments
right.
you have?
And I said, I believe it's to exemplify his will and what he's capable of doing.
So therefore, you feel you have a purpose.
Right. But I don't. And this is where the flesh comes in. And this is why I'm wrong. And I'm glad you pointed that out. Because now I'm trying to give you a purpose that I would want to have to legitimately say, which my purpose I already gave.
That's it.
Yeah. God has given me a purpose by showing me the purposes for me to work in your life.
However I choose to do that.
Right. Now, I want to put a title to that.
Yeah, no.
And that's why I'm saying me, my flesh is coming into this, because I want to say, well, my purpose is to be a scholar.
No.
I can't put a title on what God wants my life to be or what he's put in place for me.
No.
It's just, yeah. And that's where I got tangled up with taking credit. So
that's why it's so important not to get lost in things. Because if tomorrow it comes to you and he speaks to you and says, hey, get up and go to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a house, and I got a car payment, and I got to go to school, and I got kids that got to go to school, and I got this, and I got that. He knew all that.
I
gave you all that. How many of us would be willing to do it? Not many.
No, you'll come up with something.
that man get mixed up in there.
Yeah, you just like this down for me, for example. It's always there. It's a constant battle, and it's my battle.
That's why it's so important to know what Malcolm said. Satan is fighting you every single day.
Yeah,
every day. He's just as real as God is. He is, but he's powerless. You can give it to him.
Give him power. But
you can rationalize with him, and I could do this, but I ain't. We give him that. Some of us know him. Some of us ignorant to the fact. And coming back to that argument we were having, that's why I believe the Bible is there. Because the dude is mad. He will have you before you know he got you. How else do I know what to look for?
Tell you, I see him coming from every angle.
You got some extraordinary eyes. That's why I told you, I believe once you get where you need to get, wherever that is, you'll be, though.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt. Hearing Bo earlier express his understanding was enough for me.
And the passion behind it.
Enough. I'm done. I guess I'm dead.
I
must be spent because I have absolutely nothing else to say.
You're saying what you need to say.
Would not talk about this months ago.
Yeah.
This is not a conversation.
He said it. We're not even going to go a year. Maybe 7 months, 8 months.
8 months ago, I'm not having this conversation. I don't want to. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why do we have to have that conversation? Now, look.
That's
I'm not what? Man, look.
He's filling his purpose.
Already.
He's exemplifying God's will in his life.
And it's so innocent to the fact that I don't need to know no more right now.
That's why I was trying to get you to see. He was so in. Let him be there.
I'm good right here. I got what I need.
Yeah.
Right now. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to clarify this with somebody who, and there's people that's going to do it anyway. Man, that man against the Bible. Man, that man.
Right. I understand that.
It's people that's
going to
do
that.
It. Because,
I understand that. But, hey, I ain't living for them.
That's it. And that's all, man. Once again, man, the show was off the chain. I mean, we came to our own horn, like, toot, toot. It was good data. I mean, if nobody else enjoyed it, I did. I hope you did, as our listeners. I hope we put out something good for you. And I hope you picked something up. Like we say,
you sat back for like 15 minutes.
Man, I left this one. I was enjoying this because, you know, man, listen,
I'm going to say this. I'm going to let you come back, but I'm waiting on the day I can sit back and watch you two go at it. Because he didn't watch me and you, and you didn't watch me and him. Let me watch y'all two.
Man, we was going on a little bit
y'all
today.
Y'all agree too much. Man.
Yeah, that's true.
We agreed a little less today.
Yeah, we did. So it's a starting point for everything. Starting point, but this is a journey we on. This is a journey, and the beautiful thing about it, God's leading.
So,
all in it.
And God's leading. So, I mean, with that, man, it's a joy for me to be able to do this. I mean, 35 years old, sit down amongst my friends and talk about the Lord, and we discuss it in a language where it's understandable, and we relate to each other. We don't fall out. We may get heated.
Yeah,
we ain't gonna fall out. I'm
gonna stand on what I believe. You gonna stand on what you believe. He gonna stand on what he believes. At the end of the day, everybody respect what you believe.
I sharpen eye. And that's why we want to express more than anything else. Here at TOAB, at Thoughts of a Brother, we are open to all opinions, platforms, whatever it is, we open because we feel like you can find something in anything. And we hope you be as open to us as we, you know, as we move forward and keep this thing rolling, man. I love doing this, man. This is where it's at.
Yeah, I've come to the understanding I want to do this. I want to do this to the point to where I'm so strong in my belief and grounded in my belief and have the weapon to fight with what I believe that I can sit down and have this conversation with anyone. And I don't care what you believe.
Yeah.
I don't care if you've never heard of God or if you totally hate God.
Yeah.
That's your problem. But what I'm saying, you can't dispute.
That passion, that understanding, that drive builds and drives nations. That's what it's all about. When you get that understanding in you, well, I'm going to sit down with you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to be open to you. But I'm going to say what I got to say. And when we leave here, I believe what I say. When I'm telling you, I believe that. You can't do nothing with belief. When you hear that passion coming from someone, just like I just heard from you, heard it from Born Earth. When you hear that, the least I'm going to do is not, I should say it this way. What I am going to do is respect.
Hey.
You done did.
I don't
respect.
Even care about that. You ain't got to respect me.
You ain't
respect
asking for
who I,
you ain't asking for and that's what I'm saying. That's when you, when we always say it's the difference between arrogant and confidence. That's confidence. And if you want to call it arrogance, go ahead, because I'm going to tell you why. That's confidence in God, not in yourself. It's arrogant.
It ain't about me.
It's arrogant when it's about me.
Yeah.
When it's me driving, it's all about, no, I have so much confidence in the God that I serve. I'm going to stand in front of you and tell you what I got to say. You believe it, you don't believe it. I believe. That's it. That's all.
I don't want to say anything else because we'll just keep going.
Hey,
I want to say this before I'm going to say this and then I'm going to give my quote. I believe in my God so much that I find myself just randomly spitting it out.
Mm-hmm. Saying.
In regular conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And catching people that
didn't know,
thought they knew me.
Yeah.
Catch them off guard. I can see it on their face like, what?
And don't bother you either.
Don't bother me at all. That just means I ain't been saying it enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that you need to know about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That no matter what you might see me going through, one thing that will stay, that is in me and that will stay, is my love for God.
Boy, I look here.
There it is. Boy, I'm
done. Deuces. See y'all Friday.
Nah, I don't know, man. I wish we had about 15 more minutes. But we don't. So, Friday.
We got guests.
We got some nice guests.
We'll switch it up on y'all this Friday.
Yeah.
Switch it up on there, y'all, this Friday. No music this Friday. But I think y'all going to enjoy it either way.
We'll try to tackle your intellect.
Yeah,
this one wasn't about intellect. This was trying to get in your heart.
It's pure emotion.
It's true.
Spirit.
Yes, sir.
It's gone. It's what it is. It's what it is. With that, everybody said what they had to say. Hearts and minds are clear. I'm telling you, mine is. With that being said, lock your doors, go be hard to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. In unison, boys. TOAB out.
Life the same old way. Trial slowly eating away at me. I need a touch from the Lord today. Oh, revival. We must reconcile. I wanna be like Jesus. Deliver, set free. How can I reach out to someone else? I ain't got it together myself. I'm just playing the cards I was dealt. Hear my heart, I'm crying out for help. I'm looking for purity, self-control and immunity. Said I wanna be like Jesus, deliver, set free.
Maybe better than I was.
Now that I have more.